Good afternoon and welcome to the Fontenelle Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Happy Monday to everybody as well. We're going to take a look at what we see within this market trade today as we broadcast today from the Nebraska Soybean Board Studio, which is brought to you by Nebraska Soybean Farmers and their checkoff. Well, we actually saw a lot of green on the screen. We're going to dive into what happened, especially on this livestock front, with some interesting things taking place within the marketplace. We're going to take a look at really the good start on the week on the cattle, but what is going on now? Where could the cash move? How did the hogs look on the charts? From the outside market influence, no surprise, we continue to have the banking issues. And then it is report crazy come end of month, which happens to be on Friday. Thursday, Friday, we're going to get inundated with a lot of different reports. Kyle Bumstead joins us today with Allendale. And you and I just talked over the weekend for the weekend report. And a lot of the issues we dealt with last week kind of have filtered into this week, which we'll dive more into. But it sure was nice to see these cattle markets start with some positive numbers.
Well, that's right, Susan. First of all, thanks for having me back. But yeah, what a Monday it was if we're bullish on pretty much all the commodities here. So it looks pretty strong here today as far as the feeder cattle and live cattle. We gapped higher on June live cattle. Didn't really look back. We set an open price low here. Now June is the lead contract here at the volume and open interest. It looks good if we can get north of this 160 area again, which is completely possible if we can keep some strength out here in this cash market. And by cash market, we're going to be looking at this April contract. And last week's average cash cattle trade here came in anywhere from that 35 to 65% dress at 162.85 and all grades around 164.41, a little bit higher in the all grades, a little bit lower in some of the other grades. But from the sounds of it, over the weekend here, we had some pretty decent sales on the feeder cattle side of things here. That got some hedge, some lift in their shorts here, covering their hedges here early this week. And that March feeder cattle futures and options contracts, they're expiring here on Thursday at noon. So we do have that to deal with this week as well. Now back on the live cattle side of things here, it was basically just some non-commercial buying here that we saw to start the week off here. We did gap higher, like I said, but that April contract here looking basically from last week's lower cash, I would be looking for cash to come in here steady to maybe around that 164 to 165 area here this week. That's kind of starting out early. I haven't heard anything as far as bids or any offers yet out there in feed yard country. All we know is obviously, the show list is down this week, and that's a result of having lower cash last week. You're going to see less cattle on the show list. Now, we get some higher cash trade this week. Don't be surprised if next week the show list is a little higher.
It's just the ebb and flow that we see this time of year. Have you seen any weight concerns, correct, especially when we've been dealing with the winter weather once again to areas of the Midwest?
That's a good question, Susan. Now, a lot of people are just saying that these weights are coming down, and they're coming down and coming down. But last week we saw them kind of level off and tick up just a little bit. But seasonally we do see a little bit of a bounce here in weights, and we probably will have to deal with that here as the weather has straightened up some. Now some of these cattle just aren't going to finish out like we think they should or bounce back like we think they should. So I do think that the weight is still going to be an issue here moving forward as far as less tonnage on the marketplace, Susan.
So some say, this kind of came out of nowhere is what you were telling me before we started this program on these higher prices. Will this trend for the week continue since we started Monday with some positives on these futures?
Well, the history of cattle starting off extremely strong on Monday has led to what happened by Friday at the close. So I'm optimistic we can keep this strength here, but we're going to need to see some more strength out here in the cash side of things. Again, on the feeder cattle side of things here, we did see some really good sales on Friday finishing up last week and over the weekend. So that pushed that index up there to that around that 191 and a quarter area when the Merck updates it here on Monday afternoon. And we're sitting here still with the 192.35 futures contract here on the March. So we are still a little bit, trending a little bit higher on the futures with this coming together here this week. Now the April contract, same thing, and May contract, same thing. We're going to need to keep these futures moving, or this cash moving higher in order to keep this premium out there in the futures that we're carrying right now, Susan. And to a lesser extent here on this live cattle side of things too. Now the cash is kind of met up here with the futures. So we do have to deal with the option expiration and first notice date coming in here at the end of next week and the start of on April 6th.
So let's take a look at the hogs. I mean, we saw a great opportunity with the cattle market today. Hogs, yes, we saw some higher numbers, but you say it looks better on the charts.
It looks better on the charts, but then again, it's hogs. And like a friend always said, you got to have a note from your doctor and your banker in order to trade hogs. So looking at this hog complex, we did see what I would call a reversal here last week. Especially on the daily charts, we did see that. Now the weekly chart just maybe put in somewhat of a spike low. We can't really confirm that because we still closed lower for the week last week on this June contract. But that chart is so oversold that it is due for some sort of a bounce, whether today was the 3-day bounce and that's it. That remains to be seen. But in order to get this hog contract back up here and onto some solid footing, I'd like to see us take out and close above 94.30 on the June and then ultimately get back above that 97.20 area, which is up there on that 20-day moving average, and ultimately get back up here and take out and close above that old high we have, 101.52, and challenge that high that we had of 103.27. So we've got about $10 to go before we can really say we're out of the woods and we can confirm that there's at least a longer-term bottom in place. So we've got some more work to do here, but the charts are looking a little more constructive than a week ago at this time, Susan.
So we see corn and beans trending higher from a livestock perspective, and you and I talked about this on the weekend program.
Yep.
What type of toll are we going to see this take on our feeds?
That's a good question again, too. I've used this opportunity here when we've been down like this and volatility has been cheap to get some longer-term ownership on here for end users, feed yards, hog producers, and as well as chicken producers as well. So it's been an opportunity there. We didn't do anything that was really risky. We just got some calls in place there, quite a few calls in place, actually, just in case this thing does bounce, because we've been talking about this for a month, and we've seen non-commercials liquidate. They've liquidated pretty much everything. They've liquidated corn, soybeans, wheat. They've liquidated the hogs, and to a lesser extent, they've liquidated cattle too. They're still carrying a little bit of length in the cattle complex there, and the feeders as well too. So with the amount that they've liquidated here on the non-commercial side, the commercial side, however, we've seen this May, July corn spread strengthen out to about 24 and a half cents last week. Today they weren't in here doing much commercial buying here. China was not. There wasn't much commercial business being done, period. And that spread's kind of weakened to about 18 and a half cents.
Back. Stick around, folks. More is coming up. It's the Fontenelle Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
Hey, Tom, I see a Fontenelle sign there on your North 80. That corn looks pretty good.
Well, yeah, my neighbors had good luck with Fontenelle, so I decided to give it a try.
They've been around for quite a while?
Well, sure have. In the last three seasons, Fontenelle's 15 top-yielding corn products had over a 9-bushel advantage over Pioneer's commercially available leading volume corn products.
Wow, that's impressive. I'm thinking I might add some Fontenelle to my farm.
Well, just contact your local dealer or go to Fontenelle.com if you want more information.
Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back to the Fontenelle Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as we continue our conversation this afternoon with Kyle Bumstead. Kyle, of course, with Allendale. Left off talking about kind of the robust side of what we saw in the livestock complex. So let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about that elephant that's been hanging out in the room. We've seen a lot of continued discussions when it comes to, you know, just the mainstream media, and that's the continued banking issue concerns out there. From an agricultural perspective, Kyle, what are some of the biggest concerns you might have, especially as we get closer to spring planting?
Well, the biggest concerns I have are I've still been a stickler on this interest, which I think the Federal Reserve here, they typically do what they say. They raise rates this time. They're probably going to raise rates one more time, then maybe punt in the middle of summer and maybe third quarter, and then going in the fourth quarter, they're probably going to start dropping rates. So that's something we need to kind of keep our eyes on the horizon about as well. But also from the banking standpoint, what we saw was just massive liquidation here, and we don't know if some of these, there is rumor that some of these were the cause of hedge funds liquidating their grains and their livestock contracts here just to kind of come up with some capital. So we do need to kind of, we do have that issue that's out there, could still happen where they could liquidate and go short these contracts in order to try to, muster up more cash if they need to due to some banking issues.
So beyond that, I mean, we let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the fact that we're end of month coming up here on Friday. We've got a slew of reports, both from a livestock and a grain perspective, which is going to make for some interesting volatility within the trade as we continue this week.
Well, that's right. In livestock, we've got the hogs and pigs report coming up here on Thursday. And if we know anything about the hogs and pigs report, it's probably going to be, it's probably going to tell us one thing. The market's going to trade the exact opposite because it's the hog complex. But on the end of the week here, it's also the end of the fiscal quarter here as well too. So some of this liquidation that we've seen recently could have been some of that just position squaring, as far as hedge funds and their books and whatnot. But you've got this, I think it's called prospective acreage or prospective plantings report, and then a quarterly grain stocks report. Well, if we know anything about the markets, we've been able to see since last September that corn has been favored over soybeans here for this upcoming year. And I think that's what the numbers are going to probably print. And history says if you want to go off USDA, this is probably the highest number they're going to print for acreage. So it should be working down from here. Some say it's the most bearish report you get all year. I don't know. Don't really pay much attention to them. I just pay more attention out there to the spreads. Now, when you look out here, new crop December corn was able to touch that 570 area. Wasn't quite able to close above it, but it looks pretty constructive. So based on round numbers, I expect that to be some resistance here. And if we poke through that, then 580 the next area. But we did see some of the carry trimmed out there in that Easter July corn spread here. We trimmed that carry by about a penny and three quarters. Now there's 14 cents carry from Easter to July, and that is still friendly to market. Same case in the soybeans here. We've seen the bean market get beat up here the last 2 weeks. Now the Nov to Jan bean spread gained about a quarter cent, but the Jan to March gained about a penny and a quarter. So that tells me that they could be out there trying to pick up a little bit of bullish sentiment here pre USDA data dump on Friday.
All right, that's a lot of information that's going to be hitting our producers, like it or not. Do you see, and I know a lot of folks have different opinions on the pre-information popping out ahead of this report, but we saw more numbers come out early this week. Do you have any thoughts of areas that we need to keep an eye on for these planting intention numbers?
I mean, I can give anybody an estimate. I mean, I give my estimate to some other people too. I mean, it's just an estimate. They're just estimates is all it is. And that's what I think people miss is these are just estimates. They're not actual numbers. They're just estimates. So we should take this with a grain of salt and look at what the market's actually telling us. What's our basis telling us? What's our new crop basis telling us? Where are we at on the calendar? We've got weather issues in the Northern Plains, which we talked about last Friday on the weekend roundup there, which, you know, there's still some issues in the Northern Plains. They're not going to go away anytime soon. They're talking about possible preventive plan up there. So once this data is all released here on Friday, we go home for the weekend. We're going to come back next week and we're going to start talking about weather in the Southern Plains, when we're going to get the planters rolling here in the Midwest, and what are things looking like longer term up there in the Northern Plains. Are they going to get some spring wheat put in? We're sitting under, you know, in some areas 2 to 3 foot of snow up there, and they should be planting spring wheat today, and they're not. So we do need to keep our eyes on more of the weather focus here and what the market's actually telling us once we come back here next week.
I don't know about you, but I am definitely excited to be able to start talking crop progress in this planting for something new and different for the markets to focus on.
That's right. We've got that coming up, the weekly guessing game coming up here in a few weeks, too, where they're going to say, well, we think we're this much planted. We think the crop is this much good to excellent. Whether it is or isn't, I don't know. So we do have that stuff to deal with here coming up here on Mondays.
So as we get ready to wrap up here, what commodity on the grain side are you going to be keeping a focus on this week as we head towards Friday and all these reports coming at us?
Soybeans.
Okay.
Soybeans, definitely soybeans. I think soybeans have some potential here after they've been beat up. Now the non-commercials are still carrying a big long, and that's all everybody's talking about in the trade is, boy, there's more room to liquidate, which there is, but they've been beat up pretty good. And if this, quote unquote report is supposed to be, favoring more corn acres, then we could see a trim in bean acres, and that could set this thing to move back higher yet too. And we also need to keep an eye on our export picture in beans too.
Lots of great stuff today, Kyle. Best way for folks to get a hold of you?
You can call me at 308-708-7340.
All right. That has been today's Fontenelle Final Bell. As we always remind you, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. The Fontenelle Final Bell is brought to you by Fontenelle Hybrids and all your local dealers. Check it out as a podcast at ruralradionetwork.com or wherever you subscribe. It's the Fontenelle Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.